The Church Media Podcast, episode 149, How to Survive Being Burned by the Church, with Nikki Leonti Edgar. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church.
We're bringing you knowledge and insight from top media professionals from around the world.
Useful, practical content in the areas of live production, design, leadership, digital communications, and more.
The show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are available online now at the Church Media Podcast.com. And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Hello and welcome to the Church Media Podcast, especially if you are new to the party. Welcome aboard. If you're digging the podcast, please be sure to leave us a review in iTunes. It helps us get our content out to more churches around the world. Be sure to do that for us. I want to give a quick shout out to our 1230 blog. If you're not checking out our blog post, be sure to do that. It's absolutely free media training from some of the best church media folks in the world. We also feature exclusive interviews on the blog only, so be sure to check it out at 1230.media/blog. The last few posts, we featured articles from my friend Steve Dirks from Shandon Baptist Church. We did a marathon five-post series with Steve on ProPresenter. My friend Luke McElroy from Orange Thread Media and Salt Conferences shared some great truth about lies Satan uses. And Kim Porter from the River Church shared some great tips for caring for your volunteers. And I posted an article last week giving you five tips for evaluating your worship experiences. It's all free, and it's all at 1230.media/blog. Today on the show, I'm pumped at the interview that we have for you. If you have served in ministry for any length of time, you might have experienced being burned by someone or several people at a church. I have. In fact, my wife and I struggled hard at one church I served on staff at. You might have had a really bad experience at a church or with church people. That's the dirty side of ministry that no one talks about. I know we don't talk about it a lot because we don't want to tarnish the church in any way, but on the flip side, it can really leave a bad taste in our mouth about church and our faith if we're not careful. So no one knows how this feels more than my guest on today's show. Nikki Leonti Edgar started her career as a contemporary Christian music artist in the late 90s. Things began to crash for her when she got pregnant out of wedlock and the Christian community dropped her like a hot potato. She has firsthand experience on what it's like to be burned hard by the church. She understands what it's like to come crashing down and feel like you have no one to lean on. You might have been there. You might be there now. You might have been burned by a church staff, a pastor, a coworker on your team. This interview will really resonate with you today. Nikki has gone on to sing backup for some huge names in the music industry. With her daughter and husband, her family was featured on America's Got Talent in season 11 as the band Edgar. Her and her husband Ryan now serve Illuminate Church in California, one of my favorite episodes we have done on the podcast. It's all on the way after this. Hey guys, at 1230 Media, we want to help you transform your worship experience. One way we're doing that is by creating high-quality, low-cost media content for churches of all sizes. With our Go Unlimited subscription plan, we're making all of our worship media products available to you for a low monthly cost. We're continually filling our online store with mini movies, which are short-form sermon illustration videos that you can use as sermon bumpers, openers, or as a transitional element in your worship experience. We're offering service packs, which consist of a collection of matching countdowns, motions, and stills for your screens. We've got our signature Series in a Box sermon kits that are packed with everything you need for a successful sermon or event series at your church. We've loaded up each box with graphic design elements like editable Photoshop files, social media squares and banners, postcards, and other graphics. We've provided video content with weekly sermon bumpers, trailers, countdowns, and motion backgrounds. In our series boxes, we also provide a series outline to give you a jump start on your series. In our premium boxes, we've also written entire series curriculum for you as teaching booklets that you can use or adapt for your series. Each booklet contains sermon overviews, outlines, small group discussion questions, even social media post ideas. In our library, we also include ready-to-use song videos, perfect for creating memorable moments in your adult, kids, and student worship experiences. With our Go Unlimited plan, you get unlimited downloads of any mini movie, service pack, series in a box, or song video that you want. And we're filling up our store every single month with fresh content. Our full library of ready-made worship media content at your fingertips. Check out our Go Unlimited plan and get started today at 1230.media/go.
This is an exclusive interview from the Ministry of 1230 Media. Here is church media coach Carl Barnhill.
My guest today is singer-songwriter Nikki Leonti Edgar. Nikki started her career at a young age. Her first debut full-length album, Shelter Me, was released in 1998. She has performed as a backup singer for artists like Carrie Underwood, Kelly Clarkson, Rod Stewart, Amy Grant, among others. You might remember her from season 11 of America's Got Talent, where she performed with her family as the band Edgar. She currently serves as the worship director at Coving Assembly of God Church in San Bernardino. Her devotional book, All Things Beautiful, is available now. Nikki, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me. Thank you.
Now, I want to chat about several things in our time together. I want to walk through your story a little bit and some of the projects that you've been a part of lately, but I want to start by talking about your new devotional book. It was released in April. It's called All Things Beautiful and is a devotional for single moms, right? Tell us about it.
Yes, this is such an exciting moment in my life because this book has been on my heart to write for a long time. When I was going through my my tough times as a single parent, I was always looking for resources that I could really connect with. And I always told myself that someday I would write a book that was just nothing but, you know, encouragement and personal stories that could help, you know, a single mom be reminded that she's not alone and that there are other people who have walked through those experiences and got through it and had, you know, amazing happy ending stories. And so, yeah, it's been on my heart to do for quite some time.
That's awesome. And how old is your daughter now?
Oh, my goodness. She is going to be 18 next month.
Wow. And tell us kind of were you writing the book over a number of years, or did it just kind of, you've had these thoughts and then you just kind of threw, you know, finally put them down on paper, or how did the process go with you?
Yeah, you know, it was just, I decided after meeting with the publishers, I shared with them this idea of doing a single mom's devotional. And once, you know, we signed the contracts and everything got going, I started writing the book, and I was surprised how easy it was because it had been on my heart for so long, and
right.
The stories have been, you know, something that I've always thought through. And so when the time came to actually put pen to paper, it just happened rather quickly, and I was able to do it in a, you know, a couple months' time.
Awesome. Now I want to kind of back up a little bit and kind of walk through your story, and we'll kind of circle back around to the book. And I think that will give our listeners some context to go and kind of pick it up and read it and kind of give some context to your story. So I first heard about you almost 20 years ago now. I was just starting my career in Christian radio, and you surged onto the music scene with a very bright red album cover. I remember it clearly. Shelter Me was your first big album, and if memory serves me right, Everlasting Place, am I right with that? That was kind of one of the big songs. Now, it kind of walked me through that. I remember kind of you coming onto the scene. Tell me how your music career started.
I started in music through the church. My parents were, you know, evangelical ministers, and we just kind of traveled around and sang at different churches, and I knew that singing was definitely what I wanted to do, and by the time I was 13, I had signed my first label deal in California with an independent label, and that made its way to Nashville, to John and Dino Elefante. And yeah, by the time I was 15, 16 years old, I was on tours and doing the music thing full time. So it happened really fast, and it was kind of like the only life option for me as far as work went. I just always knew that music was it, and that I would really, you know, want to do that forever. So
now this was a couple years later. You're about 17, 18 years old at the time. Things are starting to really take off for you. As you said, you're kind of, touring the country. Things are really taking off. And then all of a sudden, things kind of start to crumble, right? Tell me what happened. Walk me through that time in your life.
Yeah, you know, I was out there on stages singing for, you know, sometimes 100,000 people at one time. Like, my life seemed like it was all together and everything was just great for me. But behind the scenes in my own personal life, I was dealing with a lot of turmoil and trauma with my family at home. And those were a lot of things that people just didn't know about. I was trying to portray this perfect Christian girl life. And, you know, I think I was really afraid to be vulnerable and share that I had struggles or that my life wasn't perfect. And I feel like in some ministry aspects, people do have a hard time expressing that maybe there is something wrong at home or there are things, because sometimes you fear judgment, you fear that someone will, you know, not be interested in having you sing for them because you're flawed, or, you know, all the different things that I put on myself at the time. So I was walking through some real difficulty with my parents, and I ended up meeting a guy, my very first, you know, boyfriend or handhold. You know, it was all happened at once. And I just didn't quite know how to navigate through the newness of a relationship or having someone older than me in the mix. So it kind of progressed quickly, and before I knew it, I found out that I was pregnant.
And then what happened? Tell me kind of what so your the church found out, the industry found out, and things kind of started unraveling. Walk me through that.
Yeah, rather quickly. I knew when I found out I was pregnant, there was only a few options for me, and you know, I could have said that, you know, I eloped and we had a honeymoon baby, or, you know, the abortion option went through my head. I even called the clinic to just hear about it. And then I knew that that was something I didn't want to do. The option, and especially at that time in music ministry, I knew that, you know, my choice was to hide it or to come out about it and know that that could very possibly ruin my chances of being able to continue. And so I decided to come out about it, and, you know, things came to a screeching halt rather quickly. And, you know, the bookstores and CD retailers at the time decided to pull my records from the shelf, and radio couldn't play it anymore. And I understand, I don't have any bitterness. I know that it was all kind of a domino effect, and people had bosses and things that they had to do. And I personally knew that, I mean, I definitely needed some time to kind of heal and restore my life and get back on track. But it was just like a harsh thing to deal with as a young girl that was just really broken.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that with us, and I know that it was a you know, very hard time in your life, but I want to get somewhere that I think that we don't talk about in church world that often. And it's something that my wife and I are passionate about, being in ministry for so many years, is that, just as you were saying, sometimes you kind of have to put on the mask, even within your own church. So my wife and I I've served on church staffs. And you almost feel, I've felt, like you don't have a church in a way. Because if you were to share certain things, what are you going to do in your small group? I mean, people are going to know, you know, what do you say? I have an unspoken. Or do you go to, you know, to a pastor? You can't really do that on staff. Everybody knows what you're dealing with. So it can be difficult to have a church home. And it can definitely be difficult kind of unloading your mistakes or failures or things that you're going through. And so I really kind of want to get at this. What does it feel like to be burned by the church, or what does it feel like to be on a church staff and serving in ministry and not really have that place to go, or that support that you might need? So walk me through a little bit more of that time in your life. How did that affect your faith, and then your personal life, and then obviously your career as well? Like, how did all that affect you?
It definitely affected my faith, mostly. I think, you know, being a Christian and being raised in a worship environment and everything, like, it was something that is so special, and it had value to me and meaning, and I believed it. It was difficult to be kind of cast out of a you know, church families or, you know, church of churches wanting me to come in, because Christianity, Jesus is based in love. It's based in restoration, forgiveness, all of these things that suddenly I felt like didn't apply to me as someone who was, you know, not necessarily in church leadership, but was in on a platform which, you know, was supposed to live up to a certain standard. It became very difficult when that grace that I spoke about and sang about wasn't extended to me. And it made me not want to associate myself with this, you know, religious group that had made me feel so unincluded. And it was difficult. And I related who God was to those negative voices, or maybe my dad being difficult with me. I started to see God in that way, that, gosh, you know, I don't want to worship a God who feels this way about me. And I associated all of the negativity to him. So I walked away from my faith for several years, and I wanted nothing to do with it. You couldn't convince me that God was real at one point. And it was hard. It really took a toll on my heart and on my faith. And through the long roads and the craziness, God showed me who he was outside of people and outside of religion, outside of church. And it became a better relationship because of that. I got to really see firsthand the love of God in my life and the grace of God in my life. And so that's hard. And I know I'm not the only person out there who's experienced hurt in the church and who's felt rejected for some reason or another. And this is, you know, you're saying you and your wife are passionate about it, and I am too. I feel like there's a lot of people out there who don't walk into church because of maybe something that happened in their childhood, in their youth group, in their young adult life, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, there's just stories, young to old, of people who've experienced something. And so I'm passionate about, you know, sharing with people and reminding them to not give up on the church necessarily. And there are loving people out there that aren't a representation of maybe something negative you've gone through, but also there's this incredible God who doesn't represent that negativity, maybe, of what you've walked through it within that. So, you know, it's hard, and I constantly talk to people about this topic, which is actually a pretty big one, I think, right now. And so I hope that people will continue to, you know, see God in a different way.
Do you think that there's a bigger pressure being the stage presence, whether that's a pastor, an artist, a worship leader? I was talking with I've talked with a couple of different artists about this very same thing, like Sandy Patty, and I were talking about this a few months ago. Even though it's been way in the past for her, but her divorce was very public. You know, things like that. That it's a different kind of pressure, and pastors that have fallen recently, for various reasons. Talk to me about the pressure of being the stage presence and having to kind of maybe feel like you're putting on a persona of perfection, or I have it all together, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's difficult. I feel like, you know, some of the humanity is taken out, and you see maybe the things that, well, let me rewind myself here. You know, when a pastor comes out and there's this big situation wrapped around a fall or, you know, a Christian artist, and you find out things suddenly, you go, I had no idea this person was doing this or this would happen. It's, you know, a lot of times there wasn't anyone walking through maybe some of their initial struggles with them along the way. And so we were surprised when someone falls or sins publicly in a huge way or something happens. But it's, you know, it's a culture that has happened within the church for a long time. And there's this inability to be vulnerable and authentic out of fear. And so, you know, a lot of leaders, pastors, people in positions don't have that, you know, that accountability and those people to walk alongside them to help them through their struggles because of that fear. And, you know, we're all human. Everyone, no matter what platform you're in, you're a human being with the ability to fall down and fall down quite a few times. And so I think that there needs to be a shift in that, and there needs to be grace for people, you know, when they're first walking through things and they're able to be open and exposed about some things that are weaknesses for them so that we can have support and be of a support to those who are affecting lives and making a difference. And you can affect life and make a difference and be a sinner, because we all are. We just need to be a family of God and of people that are surrounded and understand that, you know, we're all human beings and we all fall short of God's glory, but we need to be there for each other and not be so judgmental.
So what's a solution? What would you tell people who may have been burned by church or rejected by other believers, or even maybe feel like they have no church or don't have anywhere to go? Tell me about, you've definitely been burned. What would you tell someone who either has been burned or is currently like wrestling with those thoughts and feelings?
It's hard. It's a hard road. I'm not going to say like, try out a new church tomorrow and you're going to find your home and it's going to be great. You know, you have to open your heart up and you have to be okay with maybe walking through a few interesting churches until you find the right one. But it's just opening up your heart a little bit again and knowing that somewhere out there, there's, you know, there's people there that are awesome. There still is good. There's still good in the church. There's still great pastors. I think personally for me, I had not gone to church for a really long time. And then I met a pastor, Philip Wagner, in Los Angeles, California, and his wife, Holly. And their sermons were so real and authentic about our humanity and who we are. And it changed my life, and that they were all about just me being myself without judgment. And I, you know, talked about my life and my struggles with them. They never once, you know, had any issue with that. They just loved me through it. And I think as, you know, people in church, I think you should always lead with love is what I say. If you have, you know, someone walking through something difficult that maybe you don't understand, if you lead with love first, you know, you can get in to their life and through that door. But if you lead with judgment and you're not opening yourself up to maybe understand why they're in their situation, then we're never going to be able to make that difference. And so it was, you know, it was the pastors in my life that still, you know, told me that I was worthy that made a difference in my life. There were voices of people who said, how dare you? You're an embarrassment to the church. I had you on my church platform and you're such a disappointment. Those people didn't bring me closer to God. They pushed me farther away. But it was, you know, it was people's kindness. Like it says, you know, kindness that leads us to repentance. It was the kindness of people's hearts that brought me in. And then God did the work and helped me see the areas of my life that needed change and that needed growth. But it was through people's love. And it wasn't through finger pointing at me, but it was being reminded that, you know, God's arms are open. His fingers aren't pointed. They're not, you know, he's not wanting us to feel gross about our past. You know, he just wants to love us. And, you know, there are people out there, so don't give up. I would say keep trying new places and getting to know new people. You might get hurt again. There is quite possibly a chance that you could go to a church and there might be, you know, someone who just doesn't get it and they can hurt you. But you have to take those chances to find, you know, a home and a place of people there are. They're out there. And just even giving outside of church, you know, it's not just about church. It's about, you know, your personal life with God. Just to challenge yourself to see God differently and to not relate who he is to the negative parts of your past. But he's not at all like that.
Yeah, and I think that we can. I think there is a path to standing on biblical truth and not compromising, but also loving at the same time. And Jesus is the ultimate example of that. While he was here on earth, that, you know, we can stand for truth, but not beat people over the head with our Bible or be judgmental when it comes to sin. I mean, you know, we're all sinners. So, yeah.
Totally.
So, okay, in our remaining couple of minutes together, let's kind of walk through your career really quickly, kind of up until now. So you retired from contemporary Christian music for a while. You moved to singing backup for some names like Carrie Underwood, and you formed Nikki and Rich, and you sang for Glee, things like that. So I'm sure those times were extremely exciting and stuff. Tell me about those and maybe how you formed the band Edgar.
Yeah, it was after the whole Christian music thing didn't work out. I was living in Nashville at the time, so I had to kind of make money singing because that's all I knew how to do. So someone hired me to do a demo for a songwriter where you sing someone's song and they pitch it out to other people to hopefully record it. I started doing that for a while, and through that, found a love for singing, you know, in the studio and behind the scenes sessions. And then, you know, Carrie Underwood found out about me, brought me out on the road with her, and that was, I got to tour around everywhere with her and did some amazing things, and then decided to get over to California, which I was born and raised in California, but came back, and then things started really picking up, and I discovered my love of songwriting and have been able to work for Disney and DreamWorks and write for animated shows, and so it's been a dream come true. And through it all, I've kind of found that I like being in the background more sometimes. It's a lot of fun to help write for upcoming artists and to help consult people and lead them into their dreams. I love doing that. I was able to do, like you said, Glee for a long time, and just a lot of really incredible opportunities come from that. And, you know, I met this incredible guy several years ago, and he ended up adopting my daughter, and we've just have been having the best time. And it was like, I think about 3 or 4 years ago, we decided to do Edgar as a family, which Edgar is our last name. We started singing at some Christmas events and at church and decided, you know, why don't we do this? And I received a phone call from America's Got Talent to see if I, as a solo singer, would be interested in doing the show. And I was not interested at the time and said, you know, thanks for the opportunity, but I don't want to do this. And a week later, I had just finished a Christmas program with my family. I thought, you know, I wonder if they'd be interested in me and my husband and my daughter. And I emailed them, and they said, send us your stuff. And we ended up auditioning, and the rest is history. It ended up being a really fun experience to sing together. And we made it to the semifinalists of the show, and now we've been able to do some traveling as a family.
All right, so behind the scenes question, you're talking to church media guys. How produced is the show, and how much of it, you know, how much is put on for us, and how much of it is organic and authentic? You know what I'm asking?
Well, okay, that's a tough one. There, as far as the story as a whole, I'm sharing authentically my story. Now, some of the B-roll, it's like, here's an apple, give it to your daughter, and we're going to, you know, press record on this right now, so give her an apple and say, I brought you an apple if you're hungry, you know? So there's, like, some stage stuff like that, like, here's a Frisbee in the park, and just kind of throw it around and be happy for like 8 minutes. You know? Yeah. So there's, you know, the fun little shots that are totally done by them. And then they're, you know, our story when we're sitting down and they're not telling us what to say or anything. They might, you know, ask us to now share how badly you want this to happen for you. And we're like, okay, we want this really bad. So some things are kind of, you know, pushed a little bit, but it's generally they're the best show to be on. And I've worked for every show, and they're just so true to us being ourselves and the contestant representing themselves, you know, in their most authentic form. So it's not staged, as far as us. It's just a little staged when we're having fun, but you end up having fun in those moments. Or like throwing a frisbee, we're like, okay, we don't do this really at home, but we'll have fun right now, so we're not fake laughing or anything.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, so you and your husband are worship leaders at Coving Assembly of God in San Bernardino. Tell us what your week to week looks like. Do you just kind of drop in and lead worship and do shows and things during the week, or what does that look like for you?
Yeah, our life is really crazy. Yeah, we just changed our church name to Luminate.
Oh, sorry about that.
And it's great. Like, our Sundays are like a great come to Jesus moment. We are just loving leading worship as a family. My daughter does as well. And so we do that on Sundays. I work on Sunday nights in Hollywood. I do a show that does like some jazz music. And then during the week, I write music for film and TV, or I'll sing on someone's record. And then my husband will do some stuff at the church. And then he also writes music for commercials and film, and he sings. And so it's a juggling act for sure. And now my daughter Jasmine's working for Netflix and Disney, singing as a voice for them. And our family is busy. We're constantly doing something different, but that's what's so exciting. You know, from day to day, you don't know who's going to call you and what opportunities going to arise to do. But it's really great. We're, you know, really versatile in what we do, and that's what we wanted. We wanted to be kind of in L.A., being our, you know, living out our faith and our passions while being able to work in this Hollywood industry that can be difficult sometimes.
So what keeps you strong? Why are you, you know, what brought you back to the church, and what keeps your faith strong now?
I would say, well, I'm surrounded by some really great people now. Like, I found my people, my family that helped to keep me accountable in life. I feel like that's so important. Wisdom, counsel from people is also very important. I think when you're walking through everything on your own, you could lose perspective. So finding those people that I trust and that I can be open with about my struggles, that has been life-changing. So that, being involved in a church family of people that I trust, has kept us really balanced. And really having an awesome family. Like, I'm really blessed with a great husband, and my kids are awesome, and we have family dinners, and those keep us connected with each other. And we kind of make sure to, even as busy as we get, that we sit down at night if we're all here and we eat together and we talk, and, you know, just keeping those connecting moments a priority.
Yeah. Well, Nikki, thank you so much for your time. Tell us how we can pick up your book and how we can keep up with you and follow you.
Yeah, my book is available at BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com. A lot of Christian retailers have it, and I'm online at Nikki Leonti Edgar. That's my Instagram, Facebook, all of that kind of stuff. And you can follow me, and I'm constantly updating about my family and things that we're doing.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate your vulnerability today, really. And, for sharing, I know it can, you know, be a little bit of a different, subject, especially for church staff members. We don't talk about this kind of stuff quite a bit. So thank you so much for just sharing your heart with us. And I know that your heart is to use your experiences to help other people. So thank you so much, and really appreciate your time today.
You're welcome. I really appreciate you having me, and I appreciate you giving me a platform to be honest about this stuff, because I really feel like this is what we need, and will make a difference in people's lives. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. You have a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too.
This has been an all-access interview from 1230 Media. For more interviews, training, and exclusive content for your production team, visit 1230.media/training.
At the age of 15, Nicky Leonti signed a record deal and had a successful Christian music career. 3 years later, she became pregnant out of wedlock, which caused many to turn away from her. When she envisioned her future, she didn't foresee her life falling apart. Suddenly, she was a single parent. Many single parents feel alone, ashamed, hopeless, confused, or just plain tired, tempted to give in to the negative voices that say it is impossible to fulfill the dreams of their youth. From personal stories of overcoming to scriptures that were her anchor during the most difficult moments, Nicky shares transparently her journey of experiencing God's redeeming grace in her new devotional book, All Things Beautiful, 31 Devotions for Single Moms. It's available now at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Now, this is a great gift for the single mom you might have on your volunteer team. Nicky is no stranger to the music industry. In addition to her contemporary Christian music roots, she has sung as a backup singer for Carrie Underwood, Rod Stewart, Amy Grant, and others, and was featured with her husband and daughter Jazlyn on season 11 of America's Got Talent. Her and her husband now serve as worship leaders at Luminate Church in San Bernardino. You can learn more about her and her family at edgarfamilyband.com. Nicky is the perfect example that there is not a past too messy that can keep God from transforming the most hopeless situation into a beautiful story. A great artist for your team to get to know, Nicky Leonti Edgar. Again, her website is edgarfamilyband.com. Be sure to pick up Nikki's book. It's a great gift for a single mom on your volunteer team. And for complete show notes for this episode, you can visit thechurchmediapodcast.com/149. You'll find a transcript of the show, helpful links, and resources for you and your team. thechurchmediapodcast.com/149.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
We have a powerhouse episode of the podcast next week as we'll be celebrating our 150th episode of the show. We're actually packing the next 3 weeks with several interviews with movers and shakers in the Christian media industry. Next week, we'll be featuring producers in the faith space. I'll be talking to Alex Kendrick. You know Alex as the director and actor in such films as Facing the Giants, Courageous, Fireproof, War Room. I'll be asking him about the brand new Kendrick Brothers film coming next year. I also talked with Alex about the new film Like Arrows that he helped produce. I also chatted with the CEO of Movie Guide, Ted Baer. We talked about the real stats behind movies with family and faith-affirming values and the work that Movie Guide is doing to clean up the entertainment industry. Ted has been at it for over 40 years in Hollywood to influence the industry. We'll catch up with him. And finally, I'll also welcome Michael Scott to the podcast. Michael is the CEO of PureFlix Entertainment. PureFlix is behind recent films like The Case for Christ, The God's Not Dead trilogy, Samson, and others. I chatted with Michael when Samson hit theaters several months back, so we talked about the making of the film and where the faith-based film market is headed. It's all packed into one episode next week. That will kick off a 3-episode series featuring Christians in media. In 2 weeks, we'll feature the performers, and I'll share interviews with Saturday Night Live actress Victoria Jackson. This will be Vic's second time on the show. We'll also have comedian Mark Lowry and actress and music artist Jackie Velasquez. It's getting real good, guys. Powerful episodes on the way. Our podcast is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. The producer of our show is the master of all things audio, David Michael Hyde. And thank you for listening this week. Go out there, guys, and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast.
Please take a minute today to rate and review the show in iTunes.
For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com. We'll catch you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.